Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. This first or the last of the super moons, the Beaver super moon today. And it's the first day of sweater weather, so I could not be more excited here in Florida. A cold front has descended on Florida, and another one is expected for next week that's going to have the temperatures in the low 40s. And so I am too excited. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
Good morning. Are we allowed to say Beaver Moon on the radio? I mean, I think so.
Well, that's because beavers are more active as they're preparing for winter right now. Mm-hmm. And so also, too, the Native American Indians would set traps at this time of the year to catch them.
Oh.
So this is the Beaver Moon, last of the four super moons. And it looked wonderful. It looked great out there.
It was gorgeous. My New England family rents a condo the months of October, November-ish, and they took a picture of it from the beach, and it was gorgeous. And I want to say hi to our listener, Eric. Yes, we are here. So
we are here. We've it's just that time of the year. And so I want to give a shout-out to the Lake and Hills Garden Club in Mount Dora. I was there this week, gave a talk, and it was so good to see so many of my friends from Lake County there that I've known for a long time. And I even met their new member, one of their new members, Trisha. And if you are looking for someone to garden with or to have fun with and go on garden tours with, join a garden club here in Florida. And the Florida Federation of Garden Club has a great website. It's called, the link is F as in Florida, F as in Florida, gc.org, O-R-G. And if you'll go on that page, you can find a club in your area that you can join. So take advantage of it. We have a really great active garden club group in Florida, so that's wonderful. So the weather, oh my goodness, it couldn't be more better. Orlando, this week you're going to be Central Florida, lows in the 70s, highs... highs in the 70s and lows in the 60s, except midweek, we are going to have great Christmas shopping weather, lows in the 50s and 40s next week. So I am very excited. Rain only on Wednesday, mm-hmm. if we're lucky. And so we're heading into our dry season. So I'm very excited about that. North Florida, mid to low 70s and 60s, mid to 50s and 40s at night. Rain on Tuesday and Wednesday, beautiful gardening weather. You're going to really, really enjoy it. And then South Florida, Miami, what can I say? This is why they're called the Sunshine State. And the weather is fabulous. This is what makes Florida famous. The low to mid 70s and low 80s and mid to 70s to 60s. And even for a chance in South Florida for you guys to have 50 degrees one night. So rain again on Wednesday. That cold front's coming through. So if you're new to Florida, we always get rain before a cold front, and that's very important as we're going into the winter time. When we get that rain, that's important for the plants to be hydrated before we get a freeze, so there's no reason to irrigate during a freeze. And so it's very important to conserve water that way. But Sunshine State, spectacular weather, and it's going to be amazing. Now, what can you be planting this time of the year? The vegetables, you can still be planting vegetables all the way up through February for the winter time. And the vegetables are beets and broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower and celery, Chinese cabbage and collards, endive and kale, kohlrabi and lettuce, mustard and onions and peas and radicchio, radishes and rhubarb, rutabaga, spinach, Swiss chard, and turnips. All right, so all those cold winter cooking stews and savory soups, and just put some hair on your chest there, weather for to keep you warm during the winter time, and so that's going to be great for us, and so then also too, we have a great show for you today. UF and IFAS have released their updated assessment of non-native plants and the possibility of them becoming invasive. And I'm mentioning this because this week, again, and with clients, I see a lot of invasive plants out there. and they'll go, oh, well, those are not invasive. I bought this at the nursery. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you have four or five popping up, like the dark star clerodendron or the pagoda plant, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, then those are going to be invasive in the future because you just can't keep, they just pop up.
Right.
And you spread them without even being knowing about it because gardeners are generous. They want to have to share plants. And, oh, I've got a lot of this, so I'm going to give it to you. No, thank you.
Or they want you to be an accessory, one or the other.
And so I have the list, and I would love Master Gardeners. This is coming from the University of Florida. Master Gardeners and Garden Club members to reach out and help educate their neighbors when they see them doing something that they shouldn't be doing. So we'll do that. Also, going to be letting you know what to do in November. We're going to have that. And in the second hour, I have Randy Schultz, Santa Claus's best gardening friend, with his list of perfect Christmas gifts for family and friends, even the mailman and your children's school teachers. I've even bought some of them for myself. So when I saw them on Randy's list, I went, I'm right in the gardening trends. And so Randy's going to share his list in the second hour. And as always, your gardening questions, I have the answers. So you can write down this number, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Let me know what you're drinking this morning. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And we're going to start off the morning real fast here. We're going to go to Rock in Zone 9B. Good morning, Rock. How can I help you?
Hey, Teresa. How you doing? I'm doing fine.
Good.
Question for you. This, last fall, I'm single, don't know a thing about plants, but I do love them. And I put in my southern exposure, very small yard. I live in a manufactured home.
Uh-huh.
But my southern exposure, I planted with all crotons, both Petra and Mammy crotons.
Okay.
My western exposure, I put in 5 shell gingers and about 5 Petra crotons.
Okay.
Okay. The winter came, things died, but on the western side, the shell gingers, survived and they're thriving. And so are the crotons that I put between them. But in the front, I think my Petras did not make it. They tried. They struggled.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking they didn't get a good root system and, they're gone.
Right. And so when did you plant them last year, before the winter?
Oh, probably November.
Yeah. That probably is the reason why they didn't survive is because you're correct and very good for being a new gardener. They didn't have an established root system. So, if you're going to, especially in 9B and up, if you're going to be putting in tropicals, you probably want to wait until the springtime. Okay. What are you asking?
Okay. I'm thinking instead of putting in shell gingers,
on your southern side?
Yes.
Sure. They'll do fine.
They
grow in shade, too, just as much as full sun.
Okay, and how about on my western side, I put in 2 Thai plants that are just taking off like mad.
Okay.
But I was reading on the internet that Thai plants need partial or shaded sun. Yes or no?
No. They may need more water. Okay. So it's something that they take full sun or shade, but when they're in the full sun, they will need to be watered a little bit more, not necessarily frequently, but a little bit more. Okay. So they grow in both sun and shade. And so where we see them getting damaged or they just don't get watered enough when they're in the full sun.
Okay, well, normal, with the Leesburg, or, well, you know, twice a week for an inch and a half each time, is that sufficient water for them?
That's more than enough. In fact, that's too much. So an inch and a half for the whole week is fine. You only need to be watering once a week right now, and that's all you're allowed to water, to be honest with you.
But I mean in the summer, in the spring when they're growing.
If you don't get any rain, yes, twice a week is just fine. But I will just tell you honestly, Rock, that you could water once a week for the whole year and get by just fine. It's that you're allowed to water. You don't necessarily have to water. So if they get that inch and a half during the one time that you water, they will be good.
You know, I appreciate that, and I've been thinking about that, but it leaves my grass a little brown, and that upsets me.
Yeah, but that's not... So I have to figure out why it's turning brown, because an inch and a half is all your grass needs, whether it's St. Augustine or Zoysia. So if you're watering 3 inches a week during the summertime, then I have to ask, do you have a rain shutoff device on your irrigation system?
No.
Okay,
and
that's...
I know I need one, and I listen to you, and it's very good sense.
Right.
But I usually water on Sunday and Thursday, and I let the zones run for 40 minutes.
Wow. That's a lot.
Too much?
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so you're putting at least three inches of water on your turf. And so, you know, I would like you to calibrate it. So what I need you to do, Rock, is that the next time you water, gather up some tin cans, tuna fish, dog food, cat food cans, mark in it 1 inch of water, all right? And then when you water, put the cans out and turn your irrigation system on and see how long it takes to fill that can up to 1 inch. It may take 30 minutes. It may take 40 minutes, but you'll know. And that's how long you run your system for.
Okay, so one inch a week.
1 inch a week is all your turf needs, but it just depends how long. What kind of grass do you have?
Very nice, thick, luscious St. Augustine.
I bet it's lush with 3 inches of water a week. And so, so when you go to that once a week watering, it's going to go into shock and it's going to turn brown because you're basically growing it hydroponically. Okay, so you're forcing it to need that water. So this time of the year is a good time to wean your St. Augustine grass off of the irrigation. And when you go to once a week watering with the cooler temperatures, it will adapt. And usually when we get colder temperatures, St. Augustine will turn brown anyway. And so so it's a good time as you're coming out of winter into spring, then just still make sure that you're only putting down 1.5 inches at the most on your lawn a week, all right? And then your grass should not turn brown when you water it once a week, or it only gets an inch.
And that's gonna be sufficient water for my Thai plants.
Sure.
And my shell ginger.
Sure.
Okay, because I was kind of burnt out on the Crotons because they didn't root right and they died. And I said, oh, well.
I don't want you to say, oh, well, because I don't want you to lose your money. But did they die from underwatering or did they die from the cold weather, the freeze?
The freeze shocked the heck out of them.
Uh-huh.
And they were sticks. And then through the course of the spring and the summer, they were trying to sprout.
Mm-hmm.
Things were trying to come out.
Uh-huh.
But, they never came out.
Okay.
You know, leaves, little tiny leaves came out, and then they dried up.
Okay. And so can you kind of give me an approximate? Do you live on a lake or a canal in Zone 9B?
No.
No.
No, I live on a street. There's a lake behind me, but it's a small one.
It's a small one. Okay. And so you're not on any hills or anything out in the Claremont area, sandy soils?
No.
Okay, so what I need you to do, what you can
do... I do have sandy soil.
Right. Well, Florida is all sandy soils. It's just a mixture. Even when it's muck, it's still considered a soil, sandy soil. But it's just how long it stays wet. So now you can help your plants, your landscape, by amending the soil and adding some black cow compost or something to your landscape beds, which will help it hold on to water longer. But the main thing is to get it established first so that it gets a good root system. And when you're planting new plants, which I would suggest that you can plant crotons, it's just going to be the freeze is going to knock them back, and then they're going to take time to recover. But go ahead and water, you know, like the first week once a day, the second week every 2 days, and the third week every 3 days. And that gets them off to a good start. When you're only doing it twice a week when you plant them, they may not get enough water to get established well. And then the freezes kind of knock them back.
And how do you feel about throwing in a little Osmocote when I plant it?
Osmocote, that's fine. As long as it's slow release, you know, Osmocote is fine. Yeah.
Just a very little bit, though.
Well, no, I would follow the instruction labels. You want to make sure that they're getting enough. And so I don't mind slow release, and Osmocote is fine. You don't want to put in any quick release fertilizers. There's no need for that.
I know I need the boron and the micronutrients and all that sort of thing.
Well, have you had a soil test?
I have not yet.
Okay. So for Christmas... Yes, for Christmas you need to have Santa give you a soil test kit, which you can get online. It's Soil Ag Tech. Get that. And then that's going to tell you exactly what you need. I think you'll be surprised at what's already in your soils.
Okay.
And then you can call me back and let me know what's in your soil.
Well, it's a Christmas gift to me. It eased my mind.
There you go. And then that way you'll know what you need to put in. And, you know, Osmocote's not bad, but it may not be necessary to even fertilize because, you know, we do have good soils here. They just drain really quickly, and we don't hold on to organic material very long because of the heat and the rain and the microbes doing their magic. So, you know, our sandy soils are not bad. Where are you from originally, Brock?
Everywhere. I was born in Detroit, went to school in Arkansas, and been around the world since then.
There you go. Well, I know you appreciate our winters here, so that's why you're here. So,
yeah. little chilly right now. I'm used to the desert, but this is the jacket's on.
Well, I tell you, I look so much better in sweaters than I do in bikinis, Rock. So I appreciate this weather, and you know what? Digging in our sandy soils is so much better than digging in rock and clay.
It is. Make sure there's a reindeer on your sweater.
I will. I will do that. Coming up after Thanksgiving, there's a turkey there now.
Okay.
Thank you, Rock, so much. I'm so glad you called in this morning. All right, take care. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You have a good day.
Bye-bye. I love Rock.
That was awesome. Yes. He also, I get to chat with our listeners during the break and stuff when they call, which that's why I love answering the phone. And he was like, so is Gerald your turkey going to make it through Thanksgiving? I'm like, oh, it's not Thanksgiving weekend yet, so he's still around. We'll see.
I would get attached. So, you know, should Gerald be an inside turkey this year or an outside turkey? You can text us our message. So you can let us know. Give it thumbs up or thumbs down for poor Gerald.
Yes, there you go.
You know, all right. 1-888-455-2967. If you're in the garden area, if you want to text 23680. We're going to get into the invasive plants that are new to the list of Florida. And I think you'll kind of be shocked. Some of these are real. I have clients who have them in their yards and love them and share them. So we're going to try and curtail that kind of activity. Also, too, let's see. Lizzie still lives. Yes. Beets, yep. Oh, so I've got someone who texted in and said that they're growing all of these. They said beets, yep. Chinese cabbage, yep. Turnips, yep. Carrots, yep. Hairy chest, yep. According to Teresa Watkins, I'm good for the winter. I love it. You are good for the winter. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. So there is approximately 85% of all non-native plant species enter the United States through one of Florida's 30 port entries. So that's the invasive plants and the bad insects, the invasive insects. Florida has so much opportunity to take in plants that we are not good for our environment. There's approximately 1,500 non-native plant species currently present in Florida, and they're not all invading conservation areas, and they're not all bad, okay? But there are, we usually find out that they're not good or that they're invasive after they come in, and they're here for 10, 15, 20 years, and we can start documenting them. So let me give you this list that's new and updated from the University of Florida's Natural Assessment. And so the first one is Norway maples. And this is a deciduous tree that gets very tall, 40 to 50 feet. And it's fast growing from Europe. It's known to be fire resistant. And this species outcompetes native species and suppresses understory diversity. So it's not good. What should you plant instead? Florida maples, right? Native Florida maples instead. The second one we're seeing a lot, and it's really a big gardening trend, is the giant milkweed. It's also called crown flowers. It's called ivory plant. It's a large shrub up to 15 feet tall and wide, called the giant milkweed. It has those pretty purple flowers on them. It's from Asia, and it should be considered toxic to animals and people. And it has the potential to invade disturbed and degraded areas. Don't share this plant. And if you're thinking of taking it out, good idea. What should you do instead? Plant native milkweeds. Also, hedge bindweed is another plant that is a weedy vine that originated in Africa, Asia, and Europe. And this plant twines around other objects and plants and produces chemicals. It's allelopathic. That hinders the growth of other plants around it. Plant moonflower vines instead. Next spring, moonflowers. The old man's beard, which is known also as traveler's joy and evergreen clematis, is a rapidly growing woody vine originating from Africa and Europe. It blooms white clustered flowers in the summertime and can grow up to 100 feet long, which will blanket native vegetation. Don't keep it in your yard. Plant a native fringe tree instead that has beautiful forsythia-like flowers, and it's a wonderful native. The big one, pagoda flowers. I see this a lot in yards. It's a very big tropical plant that hummingbirds and butterflies enjoy, but it's going to be very, very invasive. It is now on the list. It's in the mint family. Hint, hint, Lizzie. It's in the mint family. So it grows six feet or taller. Its flowers grow in a pyramid-shaped cluster, and the leaves have five pointed lobes. It's from the Pacific Islands and has caused so much impact there, and it's going to do so here. What should you plant instead? Native firebush has the same red tubular flowers. Hummingbirds and butterflies love that firebush, too, as well. The water hyacinth's been on the invasive list for a long time. This one is called the anchored water hyacinth. It's from Central and South America and was introduced to the United States with ornamental aquatic plant gardening trade. And if you see it in your lakes and don't take it and bring it into your water garden, it is illegal to transport hyacinth. Okay, so they don't get you for having it. They get you for transporting it, because how did it cross from the lake across the highway into your water feature? Because you brought it there.
Nope.
So, you know, they can catch you that way. So don't take that out of the water. Common mallow is a very little pretty plant. It's an herbaceous plant that originated in Africa, Asia, and Europe. It's able to self-seed, and it's known to have escaped gardens and become naturalized in disturbed areas. What should you plant instead? Plant phlox. And so the next one is called Mycetus scorpioides. It's a herbaceous perennial that typically reaches about 10 inches high, has sky blue flowers and short, pointed evergreen leaves. It spreads underground via rhizomes, and it forms dense colonies and can even form floating rafts. And so it clogs bodies of water. Don't plant it. What should you plant instead? Our native blue-eyed grass, which will look lovely in your yard. And then we also have a maritime pine, or it's also called a cluster pine, that originated in Europe. It can grow up to 100 feet tall. And this plant is known to increase fire risk and is a prolific seed producer. What should you do? Plant native plants instead. So I'm going to put this on our Facebook page so that you can find it and check your yard. If you do have an invasive plant, like the Mexican petunia, the pagoda plant, the giant milkweed, take them out of your yard. That would be the best thing to do. Let's go to Carol in Lakeland. Good morning, Carol. How can I help you?
Good morning. I've got two giant milkweeds. Oh, no, they're gorgeous.
I know. Oh, I've got clients that have it, too.
Oh, dear. Got to take them out. Okay, so during COVID, I started a worm farm on my back porch with, you know, like a 10-gallon thing, and I kept feeding the worms. They're red wigglers.
Uh-huh.
And I'm you know, it just keeps growing and growing, and I need to get it out of my porch. And today, I've got my backyard is all mulch and plants.
Okay.
No grass.
Okay. Okay. Good for you.
And I have a limited amount of energy.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to figure out what to do. Basically, I've got 10 gallons or more of muck.
Right.
With worms in it. Okay. So
okay.
What do I do with it?
Okay. So I want you to, you know, 1 pound of red wiggler worms can turn 65 pounds into garbage, into garden compost in 100 days. So in little more than 3 months, you could have 65 pounds of compost. So I know you have a lot since you've been doing this since COVID. And so what you could do is put it underneath your shrubs. Just spread it out. Take a bucket at a time and just place it underneath your shrubs and, you know, anywhere where you want to grow plants and get rid of it. That way it'll settle into your mulched area and it'll be just fine. So use it up.
Yeah, so we're mulching today on top of the mulch. We're doing another layer of mulch. So I can just put it down and then put the mulch on top of it?
Sure. That sounds great.
Okay.
Good
job. So I don't have to dig a hole.
No,
and try to
no,
get
no,
it
no. Just put it on top. It'll be just fine.
Okay. And I mean, the worms are going to die, aren't they?
No, they're not. They're going to go into your ground. Good job, Carol. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Sustainable, Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's Top 5.
And my top five this week are ornamental shrubs that don't need to be pruned. I have a lot of requests when I'm landscape designing for low-maintenance, Florida-friendly plants. And here's my top five. The first one is drift roses. Beautiful color all year round. They get to be about 2 feet tall and 2 feet wide. And they don't need to be deadheaded. You can cut them if you want after they bloom, but you don't need to prune them. Dwarf Walter's viburnum is another great native shrub that does not need to be pruned. You can let it grow, and it gets to be about 3 to 5 feet tall. If it's in the right location, never needs prune. If you like it to be in a globe or other, you can prune it. My third is Hollywood hibiscus. What a great plant. Hollywood hibiscus only gets to be about 3 feet tall, and it blooms constantly, and the blooms last longer, about 3 days, versus the typical hibiscus's 1 day. My fourth ornamental shrub that doesn't need to be pruned are dwarf buddleias. Beautiful, fragrant blossoms, Butterflies love it. Makes a great addition to your butterfly garden or cottage garden. Does not need to be pruned. And my last one, my top five Japanese plum yew. Cephalotaxis herontonia prostrata. Prostrata, P-R-O-S-T-R-A-T-A. Gorgeous plant, evergreen all year round. Makes a great substitution if you're kind of tired of Indian hawthorn. Try out the Japanese plum yew. Those are my top five ornamental shrubs that don't need to be pruned. If you have a gardening question, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Eileen, I dread your question. Go ahead, ask
me. Let me try to jog your memory.
Yes.
It came with my hibiscus.
Yes.
Do you remember the name of it?
No. No, I don't. Oh, hold on just a second. Let me just see. Oh. I've got my last week. Yeah, I do. Let's see. Eileen, Orange Glory. That's what it was. Orange Glory.
Now
it was a glory flower. A glory flower.
Yeah. I told Lizzie it started with an A.
So glory. Glory flower.
Now what did you say Bob did to your plant, please? Because I laughed so hard.
No, he spilled coffee on the paper.
Oh.
So he did that 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So Eileen, get ready for this. Are you sitting down? I know what it is. Okay.
Yes.
It is a Chilean glory flower. It will grow up to 10 to 15 feet tall. And it produces tubular red-orange flowers that bloom all season long. So I'm thinking that's spring and summer. It's mm-hmm. in the trumpet vine family. Now, it prefers moist soil and full
right.
sun, but it will tolerate some shade. And you can, let's see. So just be careful. I don't know if this applies to your yard, but it's considered invasive in New Zealand.
Okay.
But it needs a structure to twine around. So you need to put a little trellis on it or a little obelisk on it. Okay.
I will.
Okay, to put flowers on it. But it is called the Chilean, yay me. I'm so excited.
I'm proud of
you. The Chilean glory flower. And the scientific name for it is Ecromocarpus scaber. Ecromocarpus.
Oh, say that three times.
not before my first cup of tea.
Three times.
So it is a Chilean glory flower.
Okay, so are you telling me that's a good flower or a bad flower?
It's a good flower right now. Keep an eye on it, though. Okay.
I water it every day.
Don't water it every day.
I thought you wanted me to water it every day.
Well, how long has it been in the ground?
A month.
Yeah, don't water it every day. No, it doesn't need to. Okay, so you do that the first couple of weeks, especially when we have really hot temperatures, like in the 90s. But we're getting into the cold temperatures. I would water it probably once a week because you don't have an irrigation system. You do it by hand,
no.
right? Okay,
no.
So water it about once a week. So we're getting some rain today, possibly, and some rain on Wednesday. And if it starts to wilt, you can go ahead and water it by hand. But it should be fine. Now, it could freeze in the winter. So if we're having some freezes, you know, get some frost blanket and put it on it or a bucket and put it over. And
I already have my frost blanket.
I'm so proud of you. That's great.
Yeah, I've had them for years.
And they work really well. So it will probably need to have tender care. Okay, because Chile does have some areas. Well, they have the mountains, the Chile Mountains. But here in Florida, the unexpected cold temperatures may affect it since it's so new. All right?
Okay. Now, what about my gardenia that I got?
Okay.
Do I need to water that every day?
No. Okay. So I want you to stick your finger. Is it in a pot or in the ground?
No, it's in the ground.
Okay. Just stick your finger in the ground. It should only need watered a couple of times a week if you're watering by hand, and only if the temperatures get to be above, you know, 80 degrees. So as we're going into the wintertime, once a week watering should be fine, or the rain, the natural rainfall. But you can always just stick your finger down to the second knuckle in the ground. If it's cool, moist, or damp, you do not need to water. And I will tell you, I had a client that we planted gardenias twice for her, and the gardenia kept dying. We're saying, why are they dying? Well, we took the second one that died, because we were going to replace it, and we took it out of the ground, and it had no roots on it. It literally was bloated, and the roots just, you know, rotted. So you may think you're doing something good, but, you know, the plants don't need to be watered every day.
Okay.
All right, hon.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Eileen. We love talking to you. We missed the roosters.
And I told Lizzie that Gerald needs to live, because I can't kill anything that's alive.
Except plants, right?
It's not in my DNA.
All right.
That's my vote.
Okay, so that's your vote. We have got you marked down as outdoor Gerald for Thanksgiving. All right, hon, thank you so much. So I have Charlotte in Plant City. Real quick, hurricane winds broke a lot of huge limbs and branches from Grand Oaks. What, if anything, can mitigate the stress caused to the tree? Well, one, you can have an arborist look at it and make sure the cuts where it's broken don't need to be trimmed properly, so that the branches can start to leaf out again. So I would have an arborist come out and survey it and make sure, Charlotte, that it's been, you know, the breakage and the damage hasn't hurt it, and how it may need to be cut or pruned properly so that it can grow out again correctly. Other than that, just, you know, make sure that it's getting water on a regular basis. If it's been in the ground for decades, then the rainfall is going to be fine on it. Nothing really you can do. We have storms in Florida. The oak trees do survive. But I would just check and make sure that the branches have broken properly. Kind of like a broken bone, you want to make sure that it's done correctly. Sometimes they have to go in and break it again so that it can set correctly and heal properly. That's what you want to do to your oak tree. So thank you. That's a great question. Lori in St. Cloud, she says, good morning. I just tuned in. I was wondering if it's too late to put fertilizer and weed and feed down on my lawn. I was unable to do that in the month of October. Thank you. Well, we don't recommend weed and feeds, Lori, but go ahead. You can fertilize it right now. Get it done, you'll be set for the year, and that'll be fine. And so we're going to be back. We have Randy Schultz with Santa's Christmas gift list for your favorite gardener, whether they've been good or bad. And I will tell you, I was excited to see this list, because I have already gotten some of the things that are on the list, and I love them. So I know you're going to really like it. Get your pen and paper ready. We will be talking to Randy Schultz with Home Garden and Homestead coming up, one of Better Lawns and Gardens' favorite friends to talk to. And he's, you know, he is like this. I'm holding my fingers up really close. He's best friends with Santa, so he knows exactly what you need to get for your garden. And I know that they will love it. So we're excited to talk to Randy and get that. And we're also going to have your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.